Revelation chapter 18. Moving right along. And we really want to get through these chapters of the Antichrist, the false prophet, the beast having their way, it seems. We want to get to chapter 19, the return of Jesus Christ, the victory at Armageddon, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords coming to set up his kingdom. Chapter 20, the thousand-year reign of Christ, the great white throne judgment. If you know the Lord, you don't have to worry about that. Chapter 21, new heavens, new earth, and the holy city, Jerusalem. And there's a sequence I hope you are finding out to these things. And rightfully so, you have to remember that chapter 19 should have come right after chapter 16. You remember we went through all those vials, God's wrath being poured out on the earth in chapter 16, and it brought us right up to the Battle of Armageddon and all of that. And when Christ returns, but now we find ourselves, I've told you, in these parentheses, these station breaks. And it's like the Lord says, wait, I almost forgot something. Let me tell you about what's been happening since really Nimrod and the Tower of Babel. And he begins to back up and he reveals to John and to us these two chapters on Babylon. We had read in chapter 14, there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And again in chapter 16, it says, and the great city was divided, Jerusalem into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And then as we get to chapter 17 and 18, we have two chapters on this Babylon. Babylon is mentioned more than any other city in the Bible. Next is Jerusalem. Babylon is mentioned over 260 times in the Bible. It's no small subject. But again, certainly Isaiah 13, Isaiah chapter 14, Jeremiah 50 and 51, Revelation 17 and 18 are the triplets to these two chapters that really focuses on the picture of this city. And it's telling us here it's fallen. It's in the aorist tense. So once it's fallen once and for all, never have to worry about it again. And that is still something in the future. It tells us it's going to happen in 1 hour. This great destruction. And that kind of that destruction has not yet happened. And it rules out just making this symbolic. It's more than being symbolic. And it's certainly there's great symbolism here in Revelation. But Babylon as a religious system that has infected the whole history of mankind. We were taking off our dogs up to drop them off at Marilyn's house yesterday. And it never fails. Every time I get on 20 coming from Lawrenceville to Beaufort, it's always congested. Why? Around the Mall of Georgia. Always congested. The only time I've ever went that route and it's never been congested is when the mall is not open, a holiday or something, or when COVID had hit. Because man is caught up in this commercial, this merchandise of Babylon through the history of mankind. But we come to a point where it has fallen. It has fallen once and for all. It is destroyed in 1 hour, the Bible tells us. That still puts it in something that's going to happen in the future. A literal Babylon. In one sense or the other. In Zechariah 5, it tells us through 11, it says, "Then I raised my eyes and looked, and there were two women coming with the wind in their wings, for they had wings like the wings of a stork, and they lifted up the basket between the earth and heavens. So I said to the angel who talked with me, 'Where are they carrying the basket?' And he said to me, 'To build a house for it in the land of Shinar. When it is ready, the basket will be set there on its base.'" The question is, where are they talking about? The plains of Shinar to Babylon to build her a house, a temple, a place there? Commerce itself may actually literally return to Babylon one day. It may become the darling of the United Nations before this is all over, particularly once all oil begins to pump there again. But it's interesting to take a note that as we come to this picture of this place, this commercial system, that's what it is. We looked at the religious system last week. Chapter 17 gave us the side of Babylon, which was this great harlot religious system. In fact, it tells us right in the beginning of chapter 17, it says, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters." And then that system is described as a great religious system that from ancient Babylon, from the time they started to build the Tower of Babel, has infected and ridden the great kingdoms of mankind through the history of mankind. And it tells us that one world religious system will ultimately be destroyed by Antichrist and by the nations that serve alongside of him. That religious system will be destroyed by man in his sinful state. That varies from Babylon in chapter 18, which is destroyed by God Almighty, the economic system. You can see the rumblings of those things happening today in our world. The world can't tolerate an absolute belief system. They can't tolerate you and I as Christians saying we believe in one Messiah. His name is Jesus Christ. We believe that there's only one name given to men under heaven that we must be saved, the name of Jesus Christ. They can't tolerate that. They want us all to get along and be happy and fit under one roof and to leave go of the things that we hold so dear and so precious to, that we believe is the lifeline, the scarlet thread to all mankind. They want us to surrender that. And it's always been that way. But you have to understand this. Once the church is gone and all religious systems come under one roof, that also will only be tolerated for so long. And finally, Antichrist himself, proclaiming himself to be God, through him and his minions, destroy that one world religious system and destroy her completely at that time, so that he himself sits himself in the temple, and then the whole world looks to him, and he governs the entire world. Nobody can buy or sell or even work unless they take the mark of the beast. Chapter 18 brings us to the point where we see this great commercial Babylon destroyed, completely eradicated. And it's interesting to look in verse 19 and 20 because it says, "They drew dust on their heads and cried out, weeping and wailing and saying, 'Alas, alas, that great city in which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth. For in 1 hour she is made desolate. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her.'" It's a vastly different perspective of the destruction of this great world commercial system. It's the consummation of materialism and worldliness and of its destruction. We're in a very interesting time that we live in. We have to live like Jesus Christ is coming today. That should dictate our moral walk, ethical, spiritual walk. You know, that we're sober-minded, that we're vigilant, that we're not infected by this world, the Christian. But we also have to live like Christ is coming 50 years from now. We have to be wise to take care of our family. We should be stewards over the resources that God blessed us with. And it tells us specifically in the book of Deuteronomy that God has given some men and some women the ability, the God-given ability to accumulate wealth. Others he has not. And I say darn about that because ask my wife about the wealth part. He has not given that to me because he knows I would probably buy a Porsche and go on Friendship Road and try it out. So he knows me. So wives, if you're not happy with your husband, if he's working every day, if he's eking out a living, you have to take that up with God. He's doing what he was called to do. We have to be wise. We have to use our resources for God, God's kingdom. And they're going to send it ahead and invest in God's kingdom. I can testify to people that are very wealthy, who are Christians, that have watched their children attempt suicide, that have watched their children die of cancer, things like that. And when they're going through things like that, believe me, they're not thinking about money or wealth at all then. What's really important comes to the forefront. We have to remember that. Verse 1 says, after these things, I saw another angel. Another angel of the same kind. By the way, some want to make this as Jesus Christ, but it's not. Al-Anon Angelon. Another angel of the same kind. Like remember, it was dark in the beast kingdom for a season. And so when this angel comes down, illuminated by the glory of God, you would think it was God. It says, coming down from heaven and having great authority, and earth was illuminated with his glory. We don't know, maybe it's back, like I said, in chapter 16, where darkness falls over the whole beast kingdom. Verse 2 says, and he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place because of the light of the glory of this angel in the presence of God. He's all lit up. A dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk. They've all been intoxicated of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. So they loved her, and they wined her, and they dined her. So the first indictment comes against Babylon. It reminds me of John chapter 3, verse 18 through 20, where Jesus says, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. She's affected the entire world, Babylon. Religious Babylon is destroyed by now, and here comes commercial or economic Babylon. It comes on the scene to be destroyed, not by the men of the earth. They will be weeping and wailing. God will destroy this economic system of the world, and all of the world will be wailing and mourning. I'm here to warn you this morning, be careful where you decide your fulfillment will come from. Because it says here, this is all that she represents is gone. will be gone in an hour. Money is a great servant, but it is a cruel master. It is not an end in itself. It's a means to an end. Money is a great tool to use against the devil because we are in a battle over the souls of men. It talks about that right here. You know, certainly our first responsibilities to take care of your home, your family, your children, that's a God-given responsibility. Nobody should have to do that for you. But it says that we should work so that we can give beyond ourselves. And we want to be able to do those things. What happens because we live in America, we watch these remodeling shows. I'm hooked on them. But all of a sudden, I'll turn them off because I said, I'm never going to do this to my house. All it does is just make something inside of you want to change your house and spend more money and all those things. That's the only reason they're on TV. It makes you dissatisfied with your home. And when I say we, I've just told you I struggle with the same problem. I get those envelopes sometimes that comes in the mail. And usually I throw them away. But every once in a while, I'll take 5 minutes and fill it out and send it back. I said, if so-and-so won, I might can win. I never tell Lydia that. She'd get on me. So she'll get on me for this. But my rationalization is, if I win, when I win, I can surprise her. And I'm making deals with God saying, Lord, please let me win. Because if I win, I'm going to give you half of it anyway. But he knows I would buy that Porsche and get on Friendship and get in trouble. He knows. That's why I will never be rich. But seriously, when you have extra money invested in God's kingdom, now tithes and offerings should be the first thing we give to God. But support a missionary. You have extra. Make sure you're in the battle for the souls of men because this earth is going to pass away. Human beings are eternal, and they're going to spend that separated from God or forgiven in his presence. And we have the message of redemption, and we are so deceived. We can be so deceived by this commercial Babylon, this economic system that surrounds us and thinking our fulfillment is in it. So the Lord begins to tell us that he's going to judge this economic system that we're surrounded with. He's going to destroy it. He begins to tell us why in verse 4. He says, I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her. Notice he says, my people. So it's the Lord's voice. Lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues. Here's the first reason for his judgment. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquity. He does something interesting here with these words. He says, her sins have reached, and that has the idea of being piled up or glued together. It's almost like the picture of the Tower of Babel. And God has remembered her iniquities. There's a rebellion in this picture. And God, again, he measures time morally, I told you. Fullness has finally come to Babylon. He says, I'm going to destroy this world system because it comes to the point where her sins have finally reached to heaven. They've come up before God. I'm glad as I look at this and I think about my life, and you should too, verse 5, that God is going to deal with her, this economic Babylon, according to her sins and her iniquities. But it tells us in Psalms 103, he has not dealt with us, the believer, according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those that fear him. If we were judged before God Almighty for our sins and iniquities, this would be the picture of it. This destroyed in an instant, just like economic Babylon. He says, for her sins have reached to heaven and God has remembered her iniquities. The smoke of the torment ascending forever and ever, he says. That's a dreadful thing. I am so glad that we're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ and we're not going to be judged according to our sins when we stand before him, but we're going to be judged according to the righteousness of Jesus that was imputed, given to us, and received the kingdom. We could never deserve that. We could never earn it. We're not worthy of it. We don't deserve to be there. But by God's grace and God's love through his son, Jesus Christ. And that's the message we have for a lost world. But here it says in this Babylonian system, this commercial system that surrounds us, it's everywhere. Evidently, you know, it comes to the point, finally, what God says is, this is done. It's over with. It has run its course. It has perverted the history of mankind and turned the hearts of men and women away from myself. So he says in verse 6, he says, render to her just as she rendered to you and repay her double according to her works in the cup which has mixed double for her. The second reason it talks about her judgment, it says in verse 7, in the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I sit as a queen and am no widow and will not see sorrow. I have a hard time. I've told you, I might as well tell on myself. Every time I'm coming up 20 and I get to the Mall of Georgia, I can have a little money in my pocket or I may not have much. But it's something that always wants me to turn to the right and just go in to these stores. Bike stores, it does not matter. It's something inside a man that wants, this Babylonian system is pulling and tugging on us. He says he's going to destroy it because that's what it does to the human soul. There's a pride, there's an arrogance in the economic system that we're surrounded with. And God speaks to that here. Ezekiel tells a good story. He says, look, this was the iniquity of your sister Sodom. She and her daughter has pride, fullness of food, and the abundance of idleness. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. When a nation, it says, come to this point, when it has a full belly, America. In other words, every man is not working in the field trying to eke out a living anymore. I remember my granddad used to plow a mule. My dad watched him. He did a little of it. And he would work to sun up until sunset. Not America anymore. Satan knows this, especially after COVID. All these stimulus checks came. And it's funny, it's getting now, and I know some people have died from COVID, been very sick from COVID. But I think worse than that is what it has did to America. Now, people don't even want to work anymore. They've learned to let the government take care of me, and I could work on the side and do something to get the things I want. COVID has left its mark. They tell me that when a foreigner comes, a missionary comes from China or the Sudan and comes to America and they go into the supermarket, they begin to cry and weep when they see the food and the resources here that we have. They can't believe it. America really doesn't want to work anymore. Because the standard around us is, for she says in her heart, I sit as a queen and am no widow and will not see sorrow. I'm never going to fail. I'm never going to fall. You've got the movers and the shakers of this world. You've got the Federal Reserve Board. You've got the whole world trying to pull itself up by an economic system. We're voting in November. The one who can make the money fall quickly or more better, that's who I'll vote for. I'm not a dummy. But behind this is an economic beast. And the Lord knows this, because it can distract us from what the real goal is. And the real goal is Jesus Christ. You have to measure your wealth. And when you begin to measure your wealth, look at the faces on TV in war-torn areas. Then measure your wealth. Look at the starving people in the Sudan and around the world. Then measure your wealth. Think about the people whose bodies are aching, is wrecked with pain and cancer. Measure your wealth then. It's a small minority that live like you and I live. We are in the top 5% of the world economic status in America. And we deceive ourselves into thinking I need this and I need that. But not true. We've arrived here. We have fresh water running in our house, a fridge full of food, and nothing to eat. I know the story. I go through the same thing. A closet full of clothes and nothing to wear. We are so blessed in those things. God finally says to this system, for her sins have reached to heaven. We read in verses 9 and 18, the smoke of her burning is ascending. Verse 10 and 15 speaks of her fearful torment. She's destroyed in 1 hour. Verse 8 says, therefore, her plagues will come in 1 day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judges her. And what he's saying is, he can do it. Won't be a problem for God. He says, the kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning. All of their hard work, imagine, and all of their savings, and we should save, and we should work hard. But that's not the goal. The goal is to be able to give to God and help people and come to church every once in a while, and they've worked all their lives. And these rich people, they say they're standing at a distance for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come. And the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. Third reason, because destruction is coming, verses 12 and 13 tells us about the wealth of this world and what that wealth can do to a human soul. Because it starts here. It says, merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones and pearls, money is the top dog. Nothing wrong with money, once again. Great servant, but a cruel master. Babylon offers all the fashions that we see around us. It says fine linen and purple, silk and scarlet. All of us likes that. This stuff on TV that's held in front of us, that's constantly bombarding us. You know, we really don't decide how to dress. That girl named World convinces us. I didn't invent bell bottoms, did you, David? But when they were in style, I wore them. And they're coming back, they tell me, I see people wearing bell bottoms. I didn't invent leisure suits, and whoever invented those, they shouldn't have. I remember wearing one when I was about 15 to 16 years of age. I'll never forget a green leisure suit. I thought I was sharp. You couldn't pay me to wear one now. All of the building material, Lowe's, Home Depot, it says every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of most precious wood, bronze, iron, and marble, everything that's built is coming down. Every city in the world, every one of them is going to fall. Everything that smells of Babylon is coming down. And cinnamon and incense, fragrant oil and frankincense. My wife loves Bath and Beyond. And sometimes I have to grit my teeth and go in there with her. And she can stay in there 30, 40 minutes at a time. I won't talk about bicycles. That's where I could stay in there for a while. But look at the names of these perfumes. And they're very suggestive. One should be called, you have Poison, Seduction, Chanel. One should be called like an ox led to the slaughter. And the affluence of Babylon, it says wine and oil, fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and chariots. There's your Lexus. They're all over the TV. You can't watch a show or a sports without all of this advertisement. And it says, and the bodies and souls of men. That's where it all goes. For Babylon, it's a means to the end. The bodies and the souls of men. It's all about entrapment for Babylon. Remember, Satan is behind this. Satan and the Antichrist. It's all about entrapment. It all ends up in this Babylonian system possessing us. That's all we think about. How can I get more? For leisure, to entertainment, to entertain myself. It's the Babylonian system. Matthew 6, 19 through 21 says, Jesus speaking, he says, do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Matthew 16, 26, Jesus says, for what profit it is to a man if he gains the whole world, the cosmos, the universe, and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Jesus says, in my estimation, your soul is worth more than the entire universe. That should make our self-esteem soar. Because Jesus laid out the heavens with the span of his hand. All of this is nothing but a backdrop. I've said before, a playpen. I remember being a little boy, my mom would make that playpen and put me in it, and I'd have all my toys and all my Hot Wheels and all those things in the playpen. That's what the Lord Jesus does for us. This is nothing but a humongous playpen. And he's made trees and oceans and seas, flowers, everything for us. But that's not the end of it. It's a love story between God and man. And a single soul, Jesus says, in this room is worth more to God than the entire universe. Don't let Satan or your flesh tell you you need more to be happy. Running this rat race, a hamster on a wheel. But this system around us is about possessing the bodies and the souls of mankind. And we live in a society where human life has been devalued. That's why evolution is so wrong. We should be able to look at the universe and know that intelligence was involved. Darwin theory has more holes in it than Swiss cheese. But evolution, what it does, it devalues a human life. The point is, if we're at the top of the pile and the monkeys are under us, and we can look down from there, we can decide what's moral. And that's what everybody wants to do. We can decide what's right or wrong. For anybody at all to even insinuate there's outside intelligence, it immediately raises the question, the spectrum of accountability. And only the believer wants accountability. We want to do what we want to do and have no conscience in doing it. The world we live in devalues human life to nothing. And the Bible says this is a war over the souls of men. Richard Day, he was a national medical director for Planned Parenthood. He wrote this in the 1960s. Let me read it for you. He's talking about what he thought was necessary for our world to have the kind of future it needed. This is in the 60s. And he's speaking to this large crowd. And he starts off, homosexuality will be promoted as no longer being considered abnormal behavior. He says, hard cure diseases will be created. Hard to detect means have been developed for inducing heart attack assassinations. He says drug addiction will be promoted so the unfit will die. Euthanasia will be more accepted as the cost of medical care will intentionally be made burdensomely high. Divorce will be made easier. ID badges will become more prevalent, eventually being implanted under the skin or perhaps as a transmitter in dental fillings. In the 1960s, he said, all salary payments and purchases will be conducted electronically, computers, and one banking system. He said, the major world religion, especially Christianity, will have to change into a new world religious system and a one world church, and the church will help bring it about. 1960. He says more airplanes, rail accidents, as well as buildings and bridge collapses will occur to create an atmosphere of instability. Terrorism will be used to make people demand international controls, and economic independence would help lessen national sovereignty as people will become citizens of the world. Sounds like we're right on course. He wrote this, said this in the 1960s. James, it reminds me, chapter 5 says, come now, you rich, weep and howl for your misery that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasure in the last days. James says these last days are going to be great injustices because the wealthy will become more wealthier and the impoverished will become more poor. And men will be taking advantage of one another in regards to those things. Here we're being told that we are in a war for for the souls of men. That's the final analysis. The war for the souls of men. Verse 14, the fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you, and all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you, and you shall find them no more at all. He says this about six times, no more at all. The merchants of these things, the store owners, who became rich by her, will stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour such great riches came to nothing. The economic backbone of the world gone in 1 hour. He says, every shipmaster, all who travel by ship, sailors, and as many as trade on the sea stood at a distance and cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what is like this great city? They threw dust on their heads and cried out, weeping and wailing and saying, alas, alas, that great city in which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth, for in 1 hour she is made desolate. Verse 20, rejoice over her, O heavens, and your holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. Verse 21, then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, thus with violence the great city Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found anymore. This speaks of her course. Isaiah 13 and 14, and particularly Jeremiah 51, it speaks of these things that is transpiring right here. Verse 22 says, the sound of harpists, musicians, flutists, and trumpeters shall not be heard in you anymore. He says it again. No craftsmen of any craft shall be found in you anymore. Sounds like a Edgar Allan Poe poem. Nevermore, nevermore, anymore. And the sound of a millstone shall not be heard in you anymore. That has never happened. So that's something that's coming in the front of us. The light of a lamp shall not shine in you anymore, and the voice of a bridegroom and bride shall not be heard in you anymore, for your merchants were the great men of the earth. Notice they weren't the great men and women of God, though. I'll be honest. I struggle. I can probably say you and I struggle. You and I have to battle lust and anger, the old man. Christians that are divorced, Christians who have had abortions, Christians who go through tremendous things, failings and suffering, but our hope is in a different place, you guys. And we know that for the forgiveness of Jesus Christ covers all those things. We look in a much different direction. All that they thought would continue without end. Not heard anymore. Not heard in you anymore. Six times he says it. Another reason for destruction comes. He says, by your sorcery, all the nations were deceived. That word sorcery is the word pharmakia. We get pharmacy from. I'm so proud of Georgia right now. And the reason I'm proud of Georgia, I hate it. I hate visiting other states, cities, where they have a pot shop on every corner. Every corner. Man, they have more of those than McDonald's. And it's probably coming to Georgia, but I can boast in us right now. We don't have it. You see, the world wants us to be all on drugs, spaced out, numb and no feelings, while it does what it wants to do, and we don't even put up a fight. That's what the world wants. That's why they have these pot shops all over the place. That pharmakia, we get the word pharmacy from, the gateway drug. Verse 24 says, and in her was found the blood of prophets and saints. That's how long the economic Babylon has been riding in this history. And of all who were slain on the earth. I'm going to read chapter 19, verses 1 and 2, because that's where it closes, really. So I'm just not reading anymore. After these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot. All of these centuries, all of these years, Jesus, when he told that parable of the rich man who had all those brothers, 6 or 7 brothers, the Babylonian system, the commercial Babylon, ate him up. He has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. I'm going to leave you with 1 John. We're in 1 John, chapter 2, verses 15 through 25. It would behoove us very well if we read this as much as needed, once a month or something. The Holy Spirit tells John, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, agape, devoted, that's what it means, devoted to the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Little children, it is the last hour, as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. Got to have perseverance. But they went out that they might be made manifest, revealed, that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is the Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. Either he who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you will also abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. That's the goal. That's what we're looking for. The worship team can come up. That's the end game. That's why we should walk close with our Lord Jesus Christ. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. And we have to understand that we're passing through. But the Babylonian system is out there. Right now, the religious system is here. Has not been destroyed yet. The economic system is still here. God will take care of those. But we have to fight them. The believer has to fight them every day, should fight them every day. Let's pray. Father, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? What can a man give in exchange for his soul? To us, to the believer, you're that pearl of great price. But God, you see us as the pearl. And you paid with us with not gold or silver or money, but the blood of a sinless lamb. As the Bible tells us, kill from the foundation of the world. You knew you were going to do it. Lord, I pray that everyone listening to this message, watching online, would walk close with you. That we will not get sidetrapped by economic or religious Babylon, but that we will hold your hand and ever walk with you, Lord. You have purchased us with a great price. May we live for you, Lord Jesus. Father, I pray for those who are hurting, those that are sick, that you would give them some relief. But most of all, Lord, I pray that even in that stage, they will continue to walk with you. And we ask this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Let's stand and close with a song, please.